We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Hello! And a happy pre-dawn. Goodness gracious. Started the show off by blowing my nose and then putting my headphones on backwards. It's been too long since I was here. I don't even know how to put on headphones anymore. The pregame show with Matt Kolsky. Is it even the pregame show with Matt Kolsky anymore? It's like the pregame show starring Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis with the occasional Kolsky appearance. Goodbye again. I'm off tomorrow to the morning show and Friday. More Steven, but worry not. You're in good hands with old Steve and Anna. Is Anna back with you tomorrow and Friday?
She will be, yes.
Confirmed, yes. Oof, sorry about that noise. So congratulations to the two of you for a great job done. So great, we're bringing you right back. And congratulations to all the listeners for... I mean, it's a gift to you, more Steven and Anna tomorrow. But in the meantime, you'll have to deal with me, at least just for today. As always, the methods of weighing in. If you've just been dying to talk to me, 888-957-9570 is the phone number. I've been dying to talk to you, truly. I'm just writing things down, especially after my visit to the pregame show on Monday was so tragically cut short by my own failed phone line. I concluded later it was the internet at the Airbnb that my parents rented in Florida. The quick report on Florida, Nana's great. 95, actually, like 19 hours from now, she actually turns 95. But, man, we had a party at a restaurant. About, like, 30 people came out for 95-year-old Nana, bunch of her friends. She kept saying, oh, I can't believe this is all happening. She was very excited. Hung out with the family a lot. It was good times. Good times had by all. My poor, poor girlfriend subjected to the insanity of my family, my Florida family, for the first time. She handled it quite well. Everyone was on their best behavior, and life goes on. As I said, also off tomorrow. And Friday, but not off. I'll be sitting in with Joe and Lo in place of the one and only Dan Dibley. Okay, so the point of all this is all this time to sit and think, one day to share all my thoughts with you fine people of the 5 to 6 a.m. audience. And I'll just start with the most recent and work a little bit backwards because I had some thoughts on last night's game. And maybe the broadest, biggest overall thought about last night, is this team now, especially in this 16-1 stretch, I think a lot of the season, and it was more about injuries this year, but certainly the off-court drama and the you know, discussions about lack of motivation were there. I think the first maybe half of the games we've played so far, first 25 or 30, it was about, this is a little off, guys are bickering, what's happening in the future, why isn't this team winning more, why aren't they playing better? And, of course, through all that, they were right around the top of the Western Conference the entire time. So there was never anything really to worry about. But that was the narrative. That was the discussion. And it felt a little like last season when pretty much all year long the discussion was, well, how come they're not on a 65 or 70 win pace? What's going on here? Why are this is struggles by their standards? What's the deal? And I think naturally people were a bit fed up with that. They were a bit fed up with just the fact that here's this team that should be the greatest show on hardwood, and instead we're watching drama and strife and hiccups from an effort and execution standpoint. And I think not since Boogie got back, but even before that, and certainly if we want to go back and point to where this 16-1 streak started, I believe, hold on, I can tell you exactly when that was. It was Tuesday, January 8th against, no, I'm sorry, Saturday, January 5th at Sacramento. But I think you can track it back even a little further to really around the start of December when the Warriors fell to 15-9 with a loss at Detroit. And if you remember, it was a particularly discouraging, ugly loss. Just a couple days after a much less discouraging overtime loss in Toronto, there was a stretch where Durant had 44, 49, 51. And the 51 was a loss at Toronto. And then they went and lost at Detroit. And it just felt like, man, what the crap is going on here? And since then, since 15-9, you're now 26-6. Which I think numerically speaks for itself. We could also start with after those back-to-back losses to Los Angeles and Portland at home. You know, again, the second of those, the sort of discouraging overtime loss to Portland. After that, they went back up to Portland, got the win, came home, or then won at Phoenix. They did lose in overtime to Houston and then ultimately to Philly, but those are the only two losses since the back-to-back. And if you want to look at that stretch, you're talking about 18-2. So 18-2, 16-1, 26-6. Basically, they've been the best team in basketball, as they are. So I should say they've been playing like the best team in basketball, which they certainly are. Probably since early December. Certainly since late December. And this team, and especially last night, reminds me a lot more of the team 2 years ago. Where, if you remember, everything wasn't always all sunshine and roses in Kevin Durant's first year. It wasn't. There were bumps in the road. There were adjustment periods. There were periods where both Steph and KD missed time due to injury. But the season was characterized by a couple of things. Number one, there was this sense that, yes, we're adjusting. Yes, there's some things we're working on. Yes, we occasionally drop a game. But overwhelmingly, more often than not, our talent overwhelms. And by the end of the game, we end up with a victory. Because even if we have some uneven moments, even if we have some bad quarters, like the Warriors did certainly in the second and arguably in the third, last night. I mean, probably you'd have to say in both. We're going to impose our will in the end. That's what this last stretch has felt like. Even when they take a loss in overtime to the Rockets or at home to the Philadelphia 76ers, even with those coming in that stretch, this entire stretch feels like the Warriors of 2 years ago where victory was almost inevitable on a night-to-night basis. And last night, that's how that felt. Even though that's a good Jazz team, even though they made a monster run at the end of the third quarter. And it, in many ways, seemed like they took control of that game. I never really had any doubt that the Warriors would pull it out. And when it came winning time, it feels like, oh, here's a game in question. And then, boom, Steph 3. Boom, Steph 3. Boom, Steph layup. Boom, KD 3. It's over. And that's what they do to you. That's what they do to you, and that's why they're the best team in the NBA. Is because last night, look, I thought they came out and played really good defense. They just missed a lot of shots. First quarter, 25-14 Warriors, could have been 40-14. Truly. They were forcing turnovers, running out, and missing open jumpers. Missing layups occasionally. Draymond right now is an absolute monster defensively. And guys talked about it after the game. Here's Steve Kerr.
He's always in that conversation. There's only a handful of guys who are going to be in that conversation every year, and Draymond's one of them. He's, as I talked about before the game, you know, for the modern NBA, for the way the league is played, it's so hard to find anybody like Draymond who can literally cover all five positions and read and react and kind of play free safety and analyze everything that's going on and make those split-second decisions and be in the right place at the right time. He's amazing.
The conversation he's talking about is the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. Here's Kevin Durant.
He's always in a conversation. I mean, when you start off with guys, it's always going to be Draymond, Rudy Gobert. Those are the top two guys you start with. Then you just figure it out as the season goes on after that. He's never out of the race because that's just what his game is. That's who he is. But hopefully people start to take notice. You know, unless you're getting steals and blocks, people don't really realize what you do on defense, you know, until you watch a full game. People don't want to watch full games no more. They just want to look at the stats. So if you watch Draymond play, you understand what he brings.
I watch full games, Kevin, and I understand what Draymond brings. And yeah, he's in that conversation. He slipped out of it a bit because there was a stretch where I think between the games he actually missed with injury and the games where I think he was probably still battling that injury and just didn't look to be fully himself, that accounts for a decent chunk of this season. But if you want to identify the biggest thing as far as what changed from the Warriors playing not great to the Warriors playing pretty darn great, it's essentially the return and then return to full health of Draymond Green. And it's keyed by his defense, his effort, his execution. And right now he's playing like he wants to win that Defensive Player of the Year again. And man alive, does it make them go. It does. 408 Texter says you can tell they're exhausted right now. They kind of look like they're dragging booty the last few games. And yeah, we're getting to the All-Star break. Boogie's going to sit tonight with the back-to-back at Portland. Last game before the break, they get a full week off, which will be good for all the guys who don't have All-Star responsibilities and probably even for those who do. That's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But look, in general, even though they're tired, that's kind of what I'm saying. That's why I compare it to 2 years ago. It's because even if they're tired, even if their shot making isn't there for three quarters, they're playing at a level right now where their defense will keep them in it. And in the end, their talent is generally going to win out. And it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch again tonight in a tough game, back-to-back, traveling home then away to Portland. It's not going to be easy tonight. As I said, Boogie will sit, but it certainly should be fun. Now, while I was gone, there was some, shall I say, less fun stuff swirling around the Warriors, specifically the Kevin Durant versus Ethan. Are we still calling him Sherwood? Strauss. And I want to get into that. I wrote about it for the 95.7 The Game website during my vacation, because I don't know how to do vacation right. You can read it, 957thegame.com. But I'm going to talk about it a little bit coming up right after this. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
I get it. I like it. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show. He's Stephen Langford on the ones and twos. I'm back in the saddle for the day. And then I'm off to someone else's saddle for a few days. That sounds weird. I don't want to intimate that I'm like sharing saddles with Dan Dibley or whatever, but I am going to fill in for him on the morning show tomorrow and Friday. So you'll be back in the capable hands of Stephen and Anna Kagarakis. I'm a little annoyed that I don't ever get Anna in here with me, so I don't get to say Kagarakis more often.
It took me a while, but I eventually got the name down. You got to make sure to roll the R.
Got to roll the R. Very important. Must roll the R. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. It's a coffee meet and greet with product experts. Head over to goldenstatelumber.com for details and more information. Lumber/planter box update for you, Steven. Got home from my vacation and immediately cracked open the planter box project lid. It's a metaphorical lid, but it is open. I carried wood from one location to another. So I have my one planter box worth of wood separated and organized in the room in which I am going to begin building it. And I cut the appropriate size plastic sheeting for the lining of said planter box. So the next move I make will involve hammering a nail into the first level of planter box number two, and I expect that to happen this week.
You a big hammer guy?
I'm more of a screw guy. Oh, boy. Oh, geez. What are you doing to me? I'm only here one day this week. Let's try not to get me fired. I was gone, basically, for the Kevin Durant versus Ethan Strauss dust-up. Do you know when the actual angry presser was? I'm pretty sure that was Wednesday.
Yeah, it was after the Spurs matchup.
Yeah, so I was already on vacation. And first of all, let me just say,
stuff happens, man. It's all good.
I don't think there's anything to worry about here.
The Warriors did a great job.
I mean, I don't know if I'd put it that way, but everything's fine. Nothing to see here. I mean, at some level, I think at this point, we got to kind of say, this is Kevin Durant being Kevin Durant. This is what he does. And I don't think it's unfair of him to do this. I don't want to use the phrase behave this way, because that makes it sound like I'm judging his behavior. If I'm judging his behavior, I'm judging it to be fine. I don't have a problem with that. He doesn't want to talk about his free agency. That's fine. He's going to have to realize that the questions are going to come. But that's fine with me. And I'm even fine, for the most part, with his reaction to Ethan's piece. I imagine Kevin Durant, frankly, I don't think he read it. To be totally honest, I don't think he read the piece. I think he read some of the extractions from the piece. I think he read responses and reactions to the piece. And I think what he read in large part was people reacting to things Ethan said about other people, not Kevin Durant, but other people believing he was as good as gone. Ethan, in that article, talked about how people around the Warriors either believe he's leaving or just are confused. He talked about how people around the Knicks believe he's coming to New York. And those things are true. By the way, he was criticized by NBA players on television. Tracy McGrady, I know, was the most public, but he was not the only one, to say something like, well, I don't even believe these quotes. Where is he getting these quotes from? Anonymous quotes, yada, yada. There were no quotes. He did not quote anybody in that article. And to the extent that Ethan referenced people's words, he was mostly talking about stuff that is very much on the record. He referred to previous Kevin Durant comments that are very much on the record. The only anonymous sourcing he did is the stuff I just mentioned, saying people around the Warriors believe he's leaving or are confused, and people around the Knicks believe he's coming to New York. Well, any idiot could tell you people around the Knicks believe he's coming to New York because they just reshaped their roster in anticipation of trying to sign him. That's pretty clear. And on the other side of that, I don't know why you would have any reason to doubt when Ethan Sherwood Strauss, who has been doing this at a high level, is exceedingly professional, and is talking to people. Whatever Kevin Durant says, Ethan is talking to people, and if he's not talking to KD, it's either because he didn't feel it was necessary for this particular story, or because KD's not interested in that conversation. So, I just don't know why you'd have any reason to think that Ethan is not on point when he tells you that people around the Warriors believe Kevin Durant is leaving or are confused. That doesn't mean Kevin Durant is leaving. It doesn't mean those people know anything. As we've seen, people around teams rarely know anything. The Thunder thought Kevin Durant was staying when he came here. The Lakers thought they were getting Paul George. They also thought they'd be able to trade for Anthony Davis once he made a stink. Lots of people think lots of things are happening. 707 Texter, the Knicks put KD's picture on the season pass brochure. Not in a Knicks uniform. Is that sneaky? Yeah. Is that meant to indicate that Kevin Durant is going to be there? Yeah. Does that mean for sure Kevin Durant's going to be there? Absolutely not. Even if the tampering is at its highest possible level, even if they are just tampering their happy little heads off over there in New York, and Rich Kleiman has a handshake deal to be the next GM, and Kevin Durant has told them in no uncertain terms he plans to go there. Even if that was true, which I don't think it is for a second, but even if it was, people change their minds all the time. Kyrie Irving did a season ticket holders event for the New York for the Boston Celtics, where before the season he said, "I'll be re-signing here if you'll have me back." They lose a few games. They're not number one in the East anymore all of a sudden. And now he's saying, ask me on July 1st, and people think he's going to the Knicks too. The point is, we don't know. We don't know. Ethan Strauss doesn't know. I don't know. I don't believe Kevin Durant knows for sure where he's playing next year. And even if he thinks he knows for sure, he could change his mind. Do the Knicks believe they're in the picture, or do they believe he's coming? Yeah, it looks like they do. But this is far from a sure deal. And by the way, Ethan didn't say it was a sure deal. And that's to me where I don't think Ethan did anything wrong. And I don't really think Kevin Durant did anything wrong. I think he probably didn't read the piece. I think he probably miscast Ethan a little bit and was unnecessarily harsh towards Ethan specifically. But I understand his frustration. I do. Because what is he supposed to say? And I hear people killing him. Well, he didn't talk for so long and now he talks. Of course people are going to come after him. Well, are you saying they weren't going to come after him if he had talked 8 days earlier? I think Kevin Durant figured maybe if I give it 8-10 days after this Knicks thing, people won't bother me about it. Because what in the heck am I supposed to say? Sure enough, he comes out after 10 days and people have already written about it and bother him about it. And I get it. It's annoying. But also, I mean, look, it comes down on both sides to how these guys see their jobs. And I think Kevin Durant sees it rather rightly as my job is to play basketball at the highest level, win championships whenever and wherever possible. And then I also have to do this media stuff. But I'm not thrilled about it. And here's, and you know, he says things in that rant like, well, if you don't come talk to me directly, here's how I imagine Ethan sees his job, if I may be so bold as to speak for someone who, frankly, is a much greater and more successful professional than I am. And I think Ethan sees his job as, if I'm going to write a piece about how people feel about Kevin Durant and what Kevin Durant might do, and he's not willing to talk to me about this, there's no point sitting down with him. I could do my job without that. I don't need to talk to a guy who's not going to say anything to me. And he did not make any irresponsible conclusions about Kevin Durant's mind. The whole article was basically, man, Kevin Durant's got a decision to make, and this should be fun. It's going to be interesting. Seems like he might leave. Don't know. Could be interesting. It's totally reasonable. And I also think it's reasonable for Kevin Durant to be frustrated. So the problem, frankly, is you people. Let me rephrase. I shouldn't. That was, yikes. Dump that. I should never, you people. I didn't mean. The problem is everybody. The problem is the world. The problem is our endless thirst for content. We can't just have nice things and wait to see what happens in the off season. We got to know. And that's sort of that would be my challenge to you as a sports talk radio listener, as a sports media consumer, because I hear it from fans, too. Now, the numbers overwhelmingly suggest you are interested in hearing about the soap opera, but I hear it from fans. I'm so sick of this. Why are we talking about this? Okay. Because Durant says it. You're saying it. Some of you. So tell me, what is it that you want to hear? Because I could do plenty. I could go super granular with basketball. I'm a nerd. I'm very into it. We could talk plus minuses and we could talk about Draymond's pick and roll defense. All that stuff. We could talk about the greatness of Steph Curry. We could nitpick the decision making of Steve Kerr. But ultimately, my suspicion is you guys want me to try to figure out what's going on in the brain of Kevin Durant. Believe me, I just assume not. I don't think, frankly, can I get into his mind? I don't know how to get inside the brain of Kevin Durant. I don't think it's possible. We can read tea leaves about his business office moving. We could talk about real estate decisions or whatever, but have subtext in every single comment he makes. But I don't think there's much to it either. So you tell me, what do you want to hear about then? What is the thing with the Warriors that we should be talking about, if not Kevin Durant? Because that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is this, it is interesting. And we do have this thirst for knowledge. We want to know. But you tell me, 888-957-9570, the phone number. The text line, 95795. Let me know. I got a thought on Clay coming up. I also, there's some more stuff off the Warriors page. I don't know if you heard this, but the Giants are doing stuff, man. Or are they? Are the Giants doing stuff? I guess we'll find out. Perhaps next. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the Pregame Show.
There are a lot of adjectives you could use to describe Damon Bruce. Funny.
James Harden was like, excuse me while I whip this out.
Eloquent.
Blah, 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 blah. Make a freaking tackle.
And sophisticated?
No, no, no. Do you know who would have not been on the Red Zone channel? The Super Bowl that didn't get into the Red Zone!
The Damon Bruce Show. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on the Bay Area's number one sports station. 95.7. The Game. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
Wait, are you like saying I'm in your house now, Steven? It's your house now? Is that what's...
I'm saying it's your house. You're the one that's on the mic.
All right, well, it's going to be your house again tomorrow. Steven and Anna Kakarakis return to the mics.
This is also very last second.
Oh, okay. What is this, Flo Rida?
It's Flo Rida.
That's another tie-in, see, because I'm just back from Florida.
Yeah, hold up. I'm going to play Charlotte.
All right,
coming up.
Turn it off. That's enough. That's enough out of you. By the way, at least one guy or gal is going to be very happy. He's excited. Nice guy, Steven and Anna made it feel real current and informative. He hates me. So, look, only about 22 minutes left of me, and then right back to Steven and Anna tomorrow. You're good to go.
Klay Thompson, Clemonades, baby. That's what we're talking about. You don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. I do know one thing.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
How do I know? 510. You think Klay's going to play in the All-Star game or just grab an Instagram model and go to the Bahamas and chill? I don't know. Maybe he could use that dislocated finger as an excuse to go to the Bahamas instead of... Because you know these guys want... Come on. These guys want a vacation more than they want to play in an All-Star game, especially the guys who've done it over and over again. By the way, Klay last night, first of all, of course, got super hot down the stretch. Really, after they messed his finger up. Don't mess Klay's finger up. You make Klay's finger twist? No. His finger makes you twist. Second half, 6 of 8, 3 of 3 from 3, 16 points. And he was killing the Jazz on backdoor cuts all night last night. He also had a couple of drives to the basket with nice finishes. All you people with the Klay can't drive or do stuff near the basket garbage, all you folks, you better get with the program.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA
you
by storm.
You better recognize is what I'm saying. Recognize. Yeah. I did say
what the hell you mean, you people?
I apologize for that. Apologies. But I was asking you, look, the Durant thing, he doesn't want us talking about his free agency. Okay, that's not really up to him. It's really up to you. The people. You people. But again, not in the pejorative sense.
You people.
No, not. I don't mean anything by it.
What the hell you mean, you people?
I'm just saying the people who are listening. The listeners. I think you do want it. Now, some of you say you don't. So I asked, well, what else do you want then? I was thinking Warriors, but of course we got other suggestions. We got a couple people who want baseball. 510 Texter wants Sharks Talk. Apologies to Chris with a K in Oakland. Not to be confused with Chris with a C in Oakland. Chris with a K, Evanston Love, my friend, but no, we won't be talking about hockey on my one-hour radio program. Another 510 texter wants to know, where are the Raiders playing next year? I don't know, and I don't really care. Start to divorce yourself from this team. They're leaving you. Screw them. Goodbye. We got A's, Giants. We're going to get to both of them in just a bit. But we have a one vote for anything but Durant. Let's go to Devin in San Mateo on the phone line. You want to weigh in? 888-957-9570. The text line is 95795. And it's just, I know some of you say you don't want to hear it, and I believe you. But I think overwhelmingly... people do. What's up, Devin?
Well, what's happening? First of all, I would like to start off by saying that you are one of the more consistently enjoyable personalities on the lineup.
Oh, thanks.
No matter where they slot you in. So I appreciate you on that front. But as to your question, I can tell you for absolute certainty that is the least thing that I enjoy listening to or about is Kevin Durant and his mental state and where he wants to go and free agency and all this kind of stuff is gossip talk. It's rumors, it's hopes and wishes, it's all speculative theory, and it's my least favorable or it's my least enjoyable thing to consume media-wise, to be perfectly honest.
What is the thing that you're hoping to hear when you tune in? You want to hear box score breakdown? You want to hear, you know, the pick and roll last night was effective? Draymond Green?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That is sports. That's why we tune in. We tune in because you guys have an acumen that we do not. And the way you guys know the game and the way you guys discuss and talk about the game, it really thrills and enjoys us as listeners. Theory and gossip, we can all do that amongst ourselves anywhere. And some of us don't even like it. But when you were leading into this question, when you said, would you rather me talk about KD's game or how great Steph Curry is or nitpick Curry's decision making, I'm like, yeah, all of that. I would rather hear about all of those talking points or anything actually related to the game or something finite. But all this stuff that's in the ether in the future, not tangible in the current and present, then, I mean, you miss me with all that.
All right, Devin, I appreciate that. And again, I'll just say I am with Devin and the rest of you who would rather talk about the game. I watched some of these games twice just because I like basketball that much. That's easy for me. But again, if you think that the majority of fans out there feel the way Devin and I do, I think you're lying to yourself. I'll tell you one thing giant media corporations don't make a habit of doing is talking about and focusing on stuff that nobody cares about. Because all of us in the media business, what we're really doing is selling ads. We are selling advertisements. And you sell advertisements good when lots of people listen to what you talk about. So if at any point you think someone is making content decisions in the media based on anything other than what gets the most listeners, you're either wrong or that person won't be around for very long. So you do have to realize at a certain point that the fact that every station is talking about Kevin Durant's free agency and every podcast and every basketball pundit has a take, I think you have to understand that a ton of people want to hear it. 707 texter says, you just ask you people what we want to hear, and when you get responses from the people, you blow them off. I didn't blow them off at all. I'm acknowledging those. I thought Devin is exactly right. And again, I agree with him. If you're talking about the Sharks, yeah, sorry, I can't help you. We're not talking Sharks. 817, you have arguably one of the most talented teams ever put together, and people are worried about the future instead of appreciating the present. That's the thing I identify with the most. Is really every night that this team takes the floor is something awesome to watch. It's just awesome. Last night was a great example. Not their best overall performance, but a ton of fun. A competitive back-and-forth game. There was a stretch where Donovan Mitchell was hitting big shots, and the Warriors were coming back, and KD and Klay were hitting big shots. It's great. And frankly, just the fact that the Warriors can finish at the level they do in a game like last night, can have a guy like Andre Iguodala come off the bench and make the impact he does in a game like last night and get that win over a good Jazz team that played well for the most part. That was awesome. And that is my preference. And in fact, I'll make this pledge to you right now. I'm done with the Kevin Durant offseason stuff. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it anymore until it is the offseason. Because I don't care. And I'm happy to admit, I don't know what he's going to do. And I don't care what he's going to do. Because as I occasionally remind everybody out there, I am a Chicago Bulls fan, and Kevin Durant is not going to be on the Chicago Bulls. So if he leaves the Warriors, will it hurt the Warriors? Yeah, somewhat, but they'll still be good. So I don't care, and I'm not doing it anymore. At least not on this show where I get to decide what I want to talk about. I'm not talking about what Kevin Durant might do in the offseason. I'm going to talk about basketball when it's Kevin Durant.
Ball don't lie.
And that's that. Apparently, George in the jungle is calling. George, do you care to say which jungle, or do you prefer to remain anonymous?
I'm just swinging out of iron out here. I'm anywhere.
All right, George.
You know, I love what 817 had to say. I got two kids, 12 and 15, and as a Chicago Bull fan, you can appreciate this. Love what you're seeing right now. This is great basketball. You know, the other thing I wanted to talk about is not so much Kevin Durant, but we're looking at Anthony Davis wanting to leave New Orleans, wanting to go someplace where he can win. And you look at him and you say, Kevin Durant came here, played with this team, and won two MVP Finals awards. What do you think?
Yeah, I just don't.
Think you can do that?
I just don't think it's possible, George. Look, the Warriors under Joe Lacob are in the discussion for every available player, but they don't have assets to trade, which is going to make it almost impossible to acquire him this offseason. They just don't have assets. They can't trade what the Durant's going to be a free agent. He's either going to sign or not, but you can't trade him for Anthony Davis. Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent. What else do you have?
Be careful in the jungle, George. Watch out for that tree.
Nice guy, Steven, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow and Friday, hosting alongside Anna Kagarakis.
A sort of am a baller.
True indeed. True indeed. Yeah. I Anthony Davis, they'll kick tires, as they say. It's just they don't have the wherewithal. And in terms of signing him on the open market, it's just there's no way to create the space. And that really is the biggest problem with Durant leaving. But I'm not going to talk about it because I just said I'm done with it. I'm done with it until it is the offseason. Unless there is significant breaking news, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. Everything else is speculation, and there's too much good basketball on the floor now to waste my time on speculation. And your time. Your time, Mr. Hand.
I could throw out a basketball question for you if you want, just to keep the conversation going.
No, because I got to get to baseball. 925 texter says Game of Thrones predictions greater than KD predictions. I support that. I support that. Quickly, before we run out of road, and by the way, Jolo and Dibs at full strength this morning, Mark Spears at 7 for some hoop talk, John Clayton at 8 mixing in a little NFL, then it's Kevin Calabro at 9:10. He is, of course, the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers, who the Warriors visit tonight. Kirk Lacob, assistant GM of your Golden State Warriors, at 9:35. Apparently, the Giants are in on Bryce Harper. Is that what I'm to understand? Is that what's happening? Okay. A couple of things. First of all, I have been incredibly critical of the Giants this offseason. I still feel like being critical. On the other hand, I do understand the perspective that they've been waiting for one or both of the two big dominoes, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, to fall because they want to make deals around the periphery, and no one's really making those peripheral deals until the big stuff happens. So that is a defense I can understand, although it's hard for me to accept watching the Giants the last 2 years, that they've done nothing so far, that their big move was Drew Pomeranz. If I was a Giants fan, I would find intensely frustrating, but I do understand the defense. And I have to say, as I heard that defense, it did not even enter my mind that the Giants might actually be in on Bryce Harper. But now, not only does it seem like they are in on Bryce Harper, it seems like suddenly they're in the lead. As of yesterday, the San Francisco Giants were betting favorites. Betting favorites to get Bryce Harper. Now, I got to be honest. I have no insight into what sets those odds other than the rumors that we've seen. And I don't know. I don't know how you get to Harper being an odds-on favorite. I don't know. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't understand what they're doing exactly. Now, listen, I guess anytime you can add a player at the talent level of Bryce Harper, you want to do that. So I'm not down on the idea of adding Bryce Harper. In fact, I would be shocked and impressed if they somehow pulled this off. I did not think they would even have a seat at the table. And clearly they do have a seat at the table. Now, it may just be that the reason they have that seat is Bryce Harper has an uncommon love for the Bay Area and apparently Buster Posey as well. So maybe they just kind of got lucky. I don't know what else is appealing about the Giants situation where it's going to be harder for him to hit home runs. He's not well protected in the lineup and they've been bad and haven't done anything to improve. So I don't know why, but it's possible the Giants are being used as leverage, which it certainly happened before. But right now they're the overwhelming betting favorites, with the Padres coming in at number two. And again, I don't know what's appealing about that situation. Text line said apparently the Giants offered him a short-term deal, which I also read. And then that Harper says he won't sign a short-term deal, which I also read. But even with those reports, he remains the betting favorite. Or the Giants, rather, remain the betting favorite to add Bryce Harper. So I don't totally know what to make of that, but I also don't know what to make of what the Giants are doing if they do sign him. On one hand, if they manage to sign Bryce Harper, I'm going to say, wow, good job. You got your guy, I guess. But then I'm going to have to turn around and say, what are we doing here? How good are the Giants with Bryce Harper? And if they get Bryce Harper right now, they're still not a good lineup. They still don't have a good starting pitching rotation. I think the bullpen can probably remain pretty good, and they've done some things even to bolster it. And a Pomerantz isn't the worst signing, but this starting rotation is pretty troubling if you're talking about trying to compete. And if you're signing Bryce Harper, I imagine you're talking about trying to compete unless he's signing up to be the first step in a rebuild. But if that's the case, you better get rebuilding quickly. You better start trading some stuff, the only one or two things on your roster that have value. It is a really interesting situation. And meanwhile, pitchers and catchers are reporting. So, man, if you can figure out the baseball offseason, I think you're a cleverer man than I am. I think you are much cleverer than me. Much cleverer. Because I can't figure it out. And if the Giants pull this off, I would be impressed. I'm just not sure I'd know what's going on. And I would be fascinated to see what comes next. If they somehow pull this off, just fascinated to see what comes next. Before I run out of time, 707 texter makes a good point by pointing out my own idiocy. 707. What did you make of the Giants in the off seasons of 2010, 2012, and 2014? Yeah, not much. So they've proved me wrong before. Quickly on the A's, I haven't said much because they haven't done a ton either, but what they've done makes a lot more sense to me. A's bringing back Fires, I love that. I think he's going to be a workhorse for you. Little additions around the size of the pitching staff. Re-signed, I believe, Anderson over the weekend.
A couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Just again, setting up the depth of the starting rotation. They didn't need to do a lot with the lineup. They lost Jed Lowrie. They replaced him with Jurickson Profar. I feel good about that. And other than that, this is just continuing to slow build a franchise around franchise players. You drafted franchise players, and now you get to build around them. And the exciting part of the A's is you're still pre-championship window. So you don't have to look for big moves just yet. And if, believe me, if the A's are really looking sharp, really in the hunt, they're going to make a move at the deadline. They've done it before. They'll do it again. They did it last year. And look, I mean, just a little bit more from Chapman and Olsen last year might have, who knows where they could have ended up. So I love the A's this year. I'm excited to watch them. Coming up, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. Mark Spears joins them at 7. John Clayton, the professor, at 8 a.m. Kevin Calabro, voice of the Portland Trailblazers, at 9:10. And Warriors assistant GM Kirk Lacob at 9:35. Dubs and Blazers tonight. Nice guy Steven and Anakarakis back with you in the morning tomorrow. This is the pregame show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.